Mark chapter 9, we'll be reading from verses 17 to 29. Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And so I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him. Never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that the most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for insight into your word today. May we understand what it was that you were saying to your disciples, what it is that you are saying to us. May we hear it and receive it with joy as you have said it to be. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Let me tell you about a guy that you have all met at some point in your life. Not so much met him in the literal sense, but you've come across him in your travels, I'm pretty sure. You specifically notice him after a large snowfall. And perhaps you were very young at that time, or you might have been very old. Or just as likely, you noticed him when you just had on your good shoes. You didn't want to get them wet, and somebody, this guy, had walked through the snow in front of you, leaving footprints for you to step in. Only for some reason, he felt the need to take these huge, gigantic steps. This way, and then that way, and that way, and you got snow in your shoes. Right? I think we've been there. Who is that guy? Why does he do that? I don't know. It's not natural. Well, we come across him. You end up with snow in your shoes. And I'm sorry to tell you that today, I'm going to be that guy. It is my turn to take some large steps. We're going to take the next two Sundays, and we're going to talk about prayer. And prayer is both the easiest and the hardest thing to do. When you're a new Christian, prayer might be intimidating, but it's fairly simple. You talk to God, you tell him your struggles, you might say something very basic like, "Lord, help." And it's simple. As you grow, questions start to arise. What does prayer even mean? Why do I pray if God already knows what I'm going to ask? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? How many times do I have to pray before I get an answer? Am I in His will? And in all your confusion and struggle, prayer becomes difficult. And you may find yourself praying something a little more profound, like, "Lord, help." But you mean it in a more complicated way. So we're going to look at prayer these next 2 weeks. And because of the shortness of the time, I will need to take some large steps. And you're going to get some snow in your shoes. For that, I apologize. Just know that there is more than what I'm saying. You will have questions that I don't get to. So it's okay if you feel a little frustrated at times. I know this is the start of a much larger conversation. But if we're going to have the conversation, we've got to start somewhere. So we're going to start here. So, let me start with one solid step. Point number one. This is a footprint that we all need to get into. No snow in your shoes allowed on this one. The first step in our journey to effectual prayer, to prayer that avails, prayer that is powerful and that is answered, is simply that we must believe Jesus when he says something. We must take him at his word. His promises are sometimes so amazing. They're so out there, so beyond our imagination, they're difficult for us to accept. Look what he says in verse 23. All things are possible for one who believes. And we think, well, he couldn't possibly mean that. We get into the bad habit of explaining away the promises before we make any attempt to believe them, to understand them. And what we're about to find out this morning is that the problem is not with the promises of God, nor with the power of God, not even with the will of God, but with us. We do not believe. The Bible says that it is through faith that the answer comes. So if there is no faith, the answer can't get through. Look at your bulletin inserts, if you have them. See some of these promises, very much like the one we just read in verse 23. Be impressed not just at the promises themselves, as if that were not enough, but that they get repeated over and over again. Go ahead and read them. I'll wait. So amazing as to be almost unbelievable, aren't they? And God is emphasizing this promise through sheer repetition. Why? Because it's true. God means it when he says it. And our response should be to say, yes, Lord. But so often our response is to say, did God really say whatever you ask? Did he really say that? Like the snake in the garden. Did God really say? Yes. Yes, he did. Get behind me, Satan. God really did say. It is my lack of faith that keeps me from experiencing the fullness of the promises. That's the problem. Not the promises of God. We must not blame God's word in all of this or try to squirm out from under the full weight of it and try to make it mean something else. It is my own lack of faith that shrouds my prayers in darkness. As the word brings my lack of faith to light through my unanswered prayers, that's a hard sentence to grasp. To accept, as the word brings to light my lack of faith through my unanswered prayers, I find that difficult. I don't like having my sin exposed by the word, so I'd rather explain away the word and those promises instead of dealing with my own darkness. Lack of faith is the problem. Look at verse 19. When he answers them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Who is he calling faithless here? Who are the ones who didn't have the faith to drive out the demon? It's the disciples, his followers. They were the problem. Now that's hard for us to hear because we're used to hearing that God does everything and we do nothing, which is certainly true if it's in its proper context. God does tell us to do things before his promises are actualized. The disciples' lack of faith was the missing element. The request was good. Drive out the demon. It's a good request. The power was available, and it was according to the will of God. And we know this because Jesus cast out the demon right after their failure. We know it because Jesus did it, and he wouldn't do it if it wasn't God's will. So the prayer was right. The power was available, and it was according to the will of God. You'd think that would be enough. What more could you want? And yet it wasn't enough. I've prayed for the right thing, a good thing, a God-honoring thing. There's power available for it. And God says, yes, I am willing. And it's not enough. Because the Bible says it is through faith that the answers come. It's not the answer that is to blame. Oh, this is hard. It gets frighteningly real. It gets put right in our lap. My lack of faith derails the whole process. I can ask for good things, right things, God-honoring things, according to the will of God and according to his good pleasure, and I still fail in my prayers for my lack of faith. This is getting tough. That's what Jesus says to his disciples, because of your lack of faith, that's why. We see this played out elsewhere in Matthew 13, verse 58. Jesus has gone to his hometown. Remember what it says. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus didn't have less power in his hometown. It was within the will of God for Jesus to heal. But because of their unbelief, he did not do many mighty works. Can you begin to see what damage we do to the working of God in our lives when we do not believe him, when we try to explain away his promises, we try to make them mean something else so that we don't have to deal with them head on, we don't have sin exposed, and Jesus fades into the background. His glory is not seen, his power is not shown, and as a result, we fade away too. Nibbling at crumbs and gnawing on old bones in the darkness when we should be feasting on meat and bread and wine and tzatziki sauce, right, Gerhard? We should be feasting at the table of our Lord. Where is our faith? So this brings us to point number two, the call to faith. We have recognized that lack of faith is our main hindrance. That's what Jesus says. You know why this didn't happen? Because of your lack of faith. That's why it didn't happen. In the Matthew version of the story, he simply says, because your faith is so small. That's why. Why didn't he do miracles in his hometown? Because of their unbelief. Now, this is hard for us to hear because it makes me feel responsible for the miracles of God. So we've recognized that lack of faith is our main hindrance to having our prayers answered. Now we could say that the other main hindrance, if I could have more than one, is not praying in Jesus' name. We're going to cover that next week. Snow in your shoes, I know, I'm sorry. Back on track. Now comes the call to faith. Once we admit that the problem lies with us, once I hear Jesus' word to me saying it's your lack of faith that's causing the hindrances to the prayers, once I accept that it lies with me and not God's word, a whole new world opens up to us because now we can see the willingness and the power of God to answer our prayers. And the pursuit of faith in earnest can begin, and praying with fresh expectation can happen. We start to expect answers. Why? Because we have finally started to believe. When we understand the problem is not with God's word, that we can believe it. Sometimes the answer is no, but the norm should be yes. How's that for a statement? We have it exactly backwards. I will accept 100 no's in my prayer life to one yes, or perhaps a maybe. And I'll think I'm doing pretty good. I'll be excited about that. When the opposite should be true, we should be receiving 100 yeses to one no. Do you doubt me? Look at those inserts again. I'll wait. Tell me, does that sound like God saying no or God saying yes? Did God really say yes? You know what? I want us to confirm that, affirm it together. Cornerstone, did God really say? One more time. Did God really say? You bet he did. Consider this example. Paul was taken aback when God told him no. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is given a thorn in the flesh. What does he do? He went to God and asked to have it removed. God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And what is Paul's response? No. Well, I can't be right. So he pulls and prays a second time. Have the thorn removed. And God says, no. And this is such an abnormality to Paul, he goes back a third time and he asks a third time. Have the thorn removed. And God says no a third time. And only after the third time does Paul finally get it. And he accepts it as the will of God. So there is a time when God says no, but that's not so much the norm. One more example, one from Jesus in Matthew 25. The one time God tells him no, Jesus asks in the garden, Lord, let this cup be passed from me. And God says no. So what does Jesus do? He does the same thing that Paul did, or Paul did the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus goes back a second time. You can read it. Matthew 25. God says no. Jesus goes back a third time. God says no. And Jesus accepts the will of God in the matter. They both ask three times before the matter is settled. Jesus asks for miracles. And he gets them. He has power in prayer with God, and he prays faithfully and in faith. And the answers are overwhelmingly yes throughout his ministry. Yes, yes, yes. If you look at these promises, all things are possible for he who believes. We start to realize that that should be our reality when we ask in faith and in the name. In faith and in the name. That is the word of God. Now, can you handle that word? That's a little shocking. And at this point, we probably don't have snow on our shoes, but we've probably fallen in once or twice. And I know what you're feeling because I feel it too. When I say these things with such confidence, I make you read those promises. I ask you to affirm them as true. When I say that, I feel a threat. A threat on my faith because I don't get a lot of yeses in my prayer life. What I've just been saying to you is outside of my normal experience. And when I read these promises and accept them as true as the word of God, I am deeply frightened because they're not true in my life. Something is wrong. If the word is true and the promises are true, the power is available and God is willing, then the problem is me. My faith. Suddenly, where there is supposed to be joy in the promises of God, there's a threat. As the light shines on my lack of faith, and I am exposed and I'm crushed, it's me. When King David gets all indignant over the sin of the man in the story, the prophet Nathan utters those terrible words, "You are the man." David was the problem. What's the problem here? It's me. Sin is mine. Now we're going to deal with that in just a minute, but before despair takes us over the ledge, let's find some encouragement. The problem of the lack of faith in our passage today is also found in the Father, of the demon-possessed child. He exposes his own heart when he says to Jesus in verse 22, "If you can do anything, have compassion and help us." And Jesus responds, if I can. He's saying, the problem's not with me, Dad. It's with you. All things are possible for he who believes, and you don't believe. Jesus accepts no limits to his power here, and he will accept no accusation of a lack of compassion. Don't you dare suggest a lack of power for God and a lack of compassion from Jesus. It's a direct slap to the face of the dad in the story. Your lack of faith is the problem here, Dad. Not Jesus, not God. And the dad, now he's exposed. His unbelief is brought to light. Your prayer is not answered because of your lack of belief, Dad. And he responds in the only way he could in that moment in utter honesty. He says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." He says, "You're right. My faith is small. It is weak. I see it. The fault is mine. It's not God's." And he presents Jesus with the small faith that he has. And he begs for more. He pleads for mercy. And the mercy of God shows up. And his child is healed. The dad's small, weak, and wavering faith brings the power of God, and his child is delivered. God, in his love, accepts the offering of faith, small though it is, and through it wields demon-banishing power. So even though you are weak, do not despair. Go to God with your faith such as it is and ask. He is merciful, he is kind, and he knows your weakness, and he helps those who come in faith. Even, or especially, the faith that admits its weakness. There is so much we don't understand. When we come to God with our prayers, he exposes our hearts as he did the father in the story so that we can see what is there. And we can deal with the sin that threatens to entangle us, that would derail our prayers, that does derail our prayers. When we see our sin, we should not run and hide. We should not give in to shame. We should not run from God, but rather run to him. And we should cry out with the Father, "I believe. Help my unbelief. God, be merciful to me. Father, be merciful to me." Here is the prayer for new believers and old believers alike. Lord, help. He answers that prayer when it is given in faith that he is willing and powerful to do it. The answer is yes to that prayer. The answer is yes. If only we would pray it in faith, however small, and we should take encouragement from this. I'm digging a pretty deep hole here with some of the stuff. But we got to get there. Lack of faith is our problem. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. The Bible says, I am guilty. You are guilty. I am the man on whom the blame falls. It's my sin that causes failure in prayer. And that's a big problem. How small our faith must be when Jesus says that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Because of this problem, Jesus puts forth the call to faith. All things are possible for him who believes, he says, in the face of unbelief. In the face of failure to prayer, in the face of confusions, the disciples don't know what's going on. The Father doesn't know what's going on. He's wondering about God's power. He's wondering about the Spirit. He's wondering about God's will. If he's healing, he's wondering about God's compassion. No one knows what's going on. Everybody is falling. Faithless generation. And what is Jesus' cry out? All things are possible for him who believes. Let's not write that off too quickly. Let us wrestle for understanding. It is deep and it is difficult, but it is meant for us to understand. And we so desperately want to believe like that. The question is, of course, how? How do we increase our faith? I believe, help my unbelief. We find the answer here as well. We've already seen it in action. And now Jesus will give it to us plainly. Look at verse 29. This is heading into point three. Verse 29, after they asked him why we could not cast it out, he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." The disciples ask why they couldn't do it. Why did we not have the power to lay hold of the promise? Why did we fail? And Jesus says, that power that you're after, that power to drive out that demon, to take care of that kind of problem, does not come from any means other than prayer. That is the answer. That is where we are starting. Where does the increase of faith come from? The increase that is needed to move from impotence to power? From prayer. Where does power with God come from? From prayer. Where does power in prayer come from? From more prayer. That is the means by which our faith is increased and our power with God is increased, through which our eyes are opened to the Word of God to give us understanding to these promises that seem so unreal and so impossible. As God increases our faith through our cry of, "I believe, help my unbelief," light starts to shine. And Lord willing, we start to see that He meant what He said. God is well able to show His power in His Word without our prayers, and He sometimes does, praise God. The normal means that He lays out for us to get a hold of it is through prayer. That's what we're called to. And we're not talking about a 30-second prayer here, although that's fine. Notice that Jesus does not stop to pray in the moment here as He casts out the demon. He just does it. He already had the power. He isn't saying that the disciples should have held hands and prayed over the child and that would have sufficed. As good as that may have been, I don't know. The power of God is cultivated beforehand from deep, prolonged prayer and communion with the Father. The Gospels tell us of Jesus going off on His own to pray, to getting up early in the morning to pray, to spending full nights in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. That is where the power to cast out demons comes from. A life of prayer. Now, in light of that, let's examine our life honestly. Does your prayer life reflect Jesus' prayer life? Do you walk in His footsteps? Do we spend actual time in Bible-based, name-based prayer? Or do we just ask in the moment of need, like the disciples did, and we're called faithless for it? Jesus taught us to become like Him, to emulate Him, to do as He did. And we are the disciples of Jesus, which means to follow in His footsteps. And though His footsteps seem too far apart for us and the power of God, they are not. Why? Because He gives the power to do it. It is not to be done by your own strength. So please, don't go and try to stay up all night tonight in prayer because you want to be like Jesus. That wouldn't be by faith, but by the will of man. We start with the confession, with the dad in the story. I believe, help my unbelief. Mere human strength to stay up all night will not be enough. There's no power there for you when you do it on your own. Doing it by faith, doing it in the name of Jesus, is something else entirely. And that's what we're going to get to next week. If you've heard this one, it's not done. You need to come back next week. This is just getting started. There is so much more to this, and I am afraid and have been afraid if you hear this one but not the next one, you will not understand how to accept those promises, how to pray in the name, how to walk by faith. I pray that God would open our eyes up to understand the fullness of the message. So this is key. You start where you are. Small, perhaps. Weak, perhaps. It's okay. You start there. Not with all-nighters and 40-day fasts. Start to pray in accordance to the faith that you have now. And that prayer will grow your faith. Not an all-nighter based on human will. There's no power for you there. You will not find an answer, and you will wonder why. Did we not pray all night? And Jesus will say, your lack of faith. You don't impress him by the time you spend. He's timeless. Faith, and in the name, is where the promises are appropriated and where we will find answers. And increased faith will lead to increased prayer. Patience and persistence and humility is needed in our prayers. And as your faith grows, so will your prayers. You may find yourself doing all-nighters. I don't know. I believe, help my unbelief is an excellent prayer. And as you keep in step with the Spirit in your own life to the measure of faith that you have now, you will find growth. And increased joy in your prayers leading to growth in faith and wisdom with God. And suddenly, you will be experiencing more yeses than noes. That is the promise of God. Oh, I want it. Don't you? There is power available to us. More power than we realize. For things so much beyond our imagination. There are yeses that are available to us, but we must believe what God has said. God gives us the gift of faith, and then he grows it in us slowly over time. The disciples, catch this, the disciples had access to the power of God, same as Jesus did. The difference was, he used the means to obtain it, time spent in prayer. They did not, and therefore they found themselves faithless and powerless in the time of testing. And a lesson was learned. I don't know all the answers here. This is a tough one. And we're going to explore more next week because we've taken some large steps today. I hope you have a sense that the promises of God are true and they are meant for you. And we need to struggle with them, not explain them away. There should be hope and there should be joy when I read those things, not dread and confusion. I should embrace them and start to walk towards them. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, because this promise is beyond what I could possibly imagine. The mystery should drive us to more prayer and more expectation, not less. That's the biblical picture. That's the road to the answers to your questions, and you must walk that road. There are answers for you that will only be discovered through prayer. Please come back next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Oh God, it is beyond our capacity to understand on the face of it. How can you say such things over and over and over again? Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief, Lord. Give us light to understand. Give us joy as we begin to understand, as we believe, as we hope, as we dare to hope. Lord, open up our eyes to see all the truth that you have for us here, that we may be a people of prayer, that we may rejoice in it as we see your promises fulfilled. Lord, you do not break a single promise. We know it. We believe it. Help our unbelief. Help us to understand your promises. The gift of your Son and his name in which we pray. The availability of it that comes through our faith. Lord, increase our faith in all these things. We are needy. We are often blind. Sometimes we're afraid. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your people as we have this conversation, as we reach out. Make your name great amongst your people here. Be powerful amongst us. As our faith grows, Lord, may we see more of you. May you be glorified here, glorified in your people. Make yourself great, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.